On the equator of Africa, there are no pharmacies, there are no hospitals, and in this setting, a woman is dying, giving birth to a child. And as she passes away, she leaves behind a 2-year-old girl and a premature baby that is in danger of succumbing to the chill of the night air. There are no incubators. There's no electricity. So there's not much in this village. So it's natural to say that this newborn's life literally is in jeopardy. And so a helper in the village runs out and finds a water bottle and fills it with warm water to maintain this desperately needed infant with some warmth. But without any cause, without any reason, all of a sudden, this hot water bottle bursts and all the water is gone. And it's the only water bottle that's in the village. And so there's this visiting physician who's from Northern Ireland who asks the orphans to pray for this situation. But there's a faith-filled 10-year-old girl named Ruth who seems to take her prayers a little too far. She prays this: "Please, God, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow because the baby will be dead. We need that water bottle this afternoon." And if that prayer request wasn't audacious enough, she continues, "And while you're at it, God, would you please send a dolly so that this little 2-year-old girl will know that you really do love her?" And as the doctor is listening to this prayer, she's been feeling very much put on the spot because she's thinking to herself, how do I honestly say amen to a prayer like that? The doctor readily admits that I did not believe that God could answer such a prayer. The only hope of getting a water bottle would be that someone would have to send a parcel from the homeland, and she's been there 4 years and she has not received one parcel yet. Anyway, she thought to herself, if anyone would send a parcel, why would they think to put a hot water bottle in a package when I'm on the equator? Doesn't make sense, right? A couple hours later, a vehicle shows up and drops off a 22-pound parcel. Orphans are pretty excited to see this parcel, so they get in there and they're opening it up. And they find all kinds of things within this parcel. They find clothing for themselves. They find bandages to help the leprosy patients that are in the village. They find bits of food. And then the doctor says this: as I put my hand into the parcel, and I searched around, and I thought, could this be? She grasped it, and she pulled out a brand new rubber hot water bottle. Ruth sees this. She's excited. So she runs to the parcel and she thinks, well, if God puts a hot water bottle in there, he must have put the doll in, because I asked for it. So she starts rummaging through this package and she comes to the bottom of the box and she pulls out a beautifully dressed doll. She runs to the doctor and says, please, can I come with you to deliver the hot water bottle? because I want to give that two-year-old this doll so she really knows that God loves her. Do you know what's really amazing about this parcel? That parcel was packed 5 months before Ruth prayed that prayer. That parcel was put together by the doctor's former Sunday school class, and the leader of that class felt an urge from God, a prompting from God, against all common sense, to put in a brand new rubber hot water bottle. A little girl in that class was prompted by God to take a doll and put it inside. This package, as long as the doctor was there, was the only package that she ever received. It's what seemed to be like a hopeless situation, but the prayers of a 10-year-old girl who prayed by faith were answered months before she even prayed it. See, in the midst of a crisis, God reached down and touched not only a premature little girl, or a 2-year-old little girl, or a doctor, or a 10-year-old girl named Ruth, but a whole village was impacted by a 10-year-old's prayer of faith, because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that package that came was an absolute miracle from the hands of a loving God. To account. At the end of June, we talked about a place that we all arrive at. I think if you remember that place, you would say this situation in this little village on the equator of Africa would have been this place. We went to Psalm 107 at the end of June, and we talked about this place called Wits End. So over the next 6 weeks, we are going to look at life beyond Wits End. And we're going to look at people who have encounters with Jesus Christ and the impact that he has on their lives, and how desperate we all are, and these people are that we're going to talk about, for God's love, his acceptance, and his touch. So this morning, whether you have a Bible, whether your phone, whether your tablet, whatever you do, you can turn to the Gospel of Mark, find chapter 10, verse 46, and we are going to read an account of a miracle. And we're going to tie these all together. So Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 46. The scriptures record that then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight, and he followed Jesus along the road. So here we have Bartimaeus. He's a beggar whether he's born blind or whether he lost his sight later in life, the scriptures don't give us that information. All we know is that Bartimaeus occupies a piece of dirt along the side of the road going from Jericho to Jerusalem. We know that there are people who scurry by him. They're trying to avoid his constant begging that he would, that these people would drop a coin or two into his tin cup. Others would come along that same road and they would grudgingly drop a clanging coin into that cup, hoping that they would satisfy the beggar's begging, maybe even to clear their conscience a little bit. But Bartimaeus is in no hurry like the crowds are. You see, he's got no place to go. There's no one waiting for him in Jerusalem to have coffee. There isn't a table set somewhere where they're waiting for him to come home and have a meal. All he's got is his routine in life. And that's sitting beside a road in a patch of dirt, begging for crumbs that might fall out of the purses of those who pass by. But while he's there, he reads the latest headlines. He picks up the gospel. He picks up all the things that the Jericho news articles are saying. You see, he reads them through the eyes and through the lips of those who are passing by because he listens. He overhears all the conversations that are going on around him. And he learns about this man named Jesus of Nazareth. He's heard the news of what people say that he's done. He's heard the news what people say who he is. So I think he's well informed about who Jesus is generally. And when he finds out that the commotion that's around him on this day is because Jesus is passing by, he seizes his opportunity to get the attention of the Son of God. And so he does what he really only can do, is that he cries out from that dirt patch on the side of the road, and he cries out and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Around him, there's a selfish crowd, right? Because they do their best to try and silence him. But Bartimaeus is not going to be denied. See, Jesus may never pass this way again. He has no idea. This is his day. This is his chance to get the attention of God and to receive the mercy that he seeks. So again, he cries out. And Jesus does something that I don't think the crowd expected. Because Jesus stops. And he says, "Call him. Tell Bartimaeus to come to me." And in that act of faith of getting up and making his way to the voice of the one who calls him, he throws off his cloak and he makes his way to Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the condescending crowd is now silent because now they want to see what Jesus is going to do with this blind beggar. So Jesus asks them simply, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus didn't ask for wealth, he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for anything else. But he said without reason, he asked for the one thing that's held him captive for a very long time. "Rabbi, I want to see." In other words, I want out of this dark dungeon. I want the scales of blindness to fall off of my eyes. I want to be able to see people's faces again. I want to walk the streets of Jericho. I want to be able to go to synagogue on my own. I want to use my hands for something more than groping around in the dark, begging for coins. I want to see." Four words. And in that moment, Jesus knew exactly what those four words meant to Bartimaeus. And he extends the favor, and he says to him, "Bartimaeus, go. Go, man, because your faith has healed you." So in that instant, in the twinkling of an eye, Bartimaeus passes from darkness to light. Maybe for the very first time, don't know, but he sees the curious crowd around him, and he looks into faces of people that he may have never seen before. He looks around at his surroundings, and he realizes what he can really see. And then he focuses in on Jesus. And he looks into love. He sees love. What's key in this is to understand that it was his faith that healed him. It was the faith of a 10-year-old girl that brought a water bottle and a doll. And he is overwhelmed with gratitude and filled with praise, and he goes off to follow Jesus. And you know, we could leave that story right here. Probably some of you would love to get out a little bit early. Maybe you will. We could recognize the miracle and we could go home, right? Because we've heard two astonishing accounts of what Jesus can do when we apply our faith. But there's something else that the Holy Spirit is prompting me to bring out this morning. I've never caught it before until I read it again this week. There's a blind beggar. He's the nuisance of Jericho Road, and he receives something else that I think that you and I so easily look past. As Jesus stops and he asks Bartimaeus to come to him, hear this, please. This blind beggar has the undivided attention of deity. Do you get it? Do you understand that? How powerful that is for us? When we pray by faith, we have the undivided attention of deity. I don't know about you, but maybe it was a good thing I was sitting when I read that. That got my attention. Maybe I've taken my prayers way too lightly, too common. Anyway, you know, so I thought of that and I thought, wow, all of heaven paused and turned to this blind man who's asking for sight. You know, it's like you could see angels leaning into the Jericho Road encounter. It's like a hush fell over all of heaven as Jesus gives Bartimaeus his full attention. Go, because your faith has healed you. So, naturally, I got to ask some questions around that, right? How did Bartimaeus get the undivided attention of God? How did heaven pause and lean into him? There's lots of beggars. Lots of beggars in that day. Lots of blind people in that day. I think there's four things that Bartimaeus did that are revealed in this passage of Scripture. I think Bartimaeus, first of all, approached Jesus Christ with humility. I don't get a hint of entitlement in anything that he's asking for. I think Bartimaeus knew that he really didn't deserve mercy, but in humility he asked. He wasn't demanding in the face of the Son of David. From a dirt patch he was sitting on, he simply cried out to the one who could do something about his blindness. You know, I think about Bartimaeus and I think about the crowds around him. And even though he's physically blind, in a world of spirituality, he's probably one of the only ones that really sees. Secondly, Bartimaeus doesn't let the crowds discourage him or stop him from coming to Jesus Christ. He was persistent. He kept on asking, to seeking, to knocking, as the scriptures call us to. He kept on doing all those things so we can get the attention of God. He simply was not going to allow people to constrain him or to hold him back from seeking the Son of David. So I don't think the crowds really cared whether he was blind or not. I don't think they cared whether he stayed that way. I don't think they had compassion for him. He was a blind man who was a nuisance and a distraction. I think they wanted him to be silent and just simply go away. We'll come back to that later. Thirdly, Bartimaeus let go of his past. Oh man, this is so critical for us. Again, I didn't catch this till I read it again. When Jesus called him over, he immediately did what? He threw off his cloak. There's symbolic meanings in that for us. He jumped to his feet. He made his way to Jesus. He already knew that Jesus was going to take him somewhere where he did not need his cloak. You see, the cloak, I believe, is Bartimaeus' past. And he was going to shed his past because Jesus was taking him into a new future, into a new present. So for us, as we seek the undivided attention of God, as we seek to have whatever needs in our lives met by our Father, what's your cloak? What are you holding on to? What's in your past that needs to be dealt with and shed and let go of, so the Son of David can minister to you that only ways that he can? Are you holding on to stuff? Lastly, Bartimaeus followed Jesus Christ. Again, I believe that Bartimaeus didn't just want healing. I think he wanted the healer. Jesus knew that before he called him over, I think Jesus knew his heart and that his heart was hungry for God. Jesus met his request. He gave him his physical sight. So when you're at wit's end and you need Jesus Christ, all you have to do is you've got to follow Jesus. Follow him. So you have to ask yourself, do you want the healing? Do you want whatever's at wit's end gone? Or do you really want the healer as well? There's nothing wrong with the need. But do you want the healer as well? So bottom line is this. When a little girl gets the undivided attention of heaven, prayers get answered. Simple as that. That's a true account from a village in Africa. When a blind man cries out to Jesus Christ, darkness is transformed into light, eyes are opened, lives are changed. True account coming straight out of Scripture. Both the prayers of a 10-year-old girl and the cries of a beggar are ones of anticipation, of confidence, of boldness, and ones of faith. And they get answered. So the next time you pray to your Heavenly Father, you have to understand that if you pray by faith, as Ruth did and as Bartimaeus did, you have the undivided attention of deity. Blows my mind to think that God would pause and give me undivided attention. Same with you. That's where I was going to end. That's where the amen happens. That's where Derek and Gerald come back up and sing, but they can't yet. Because as I was wrapping up on Friday afternoon, and I was really wrestling, Lord, how do I conclude this message? Just nothing wanted to come. Nothing gelled. Nothing made sense to me. That's frustrating, because I want to go home. And I wanted to enjoy my Saturday with my wife. So I didn't want to work on this on Saturday. I wanted it to be concluded. Until this came. And I believe this is from the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm going to say. I just believe God has asked me to continue this and finish it out. Because there's one more component within this, or this story, account of the miracle of the blind man. is that there's two responses within this account. First of all, there's a response of the crowd. And what the crowd wants to do is they want to silence him. The crowd wants him to go away. The crowd around Bartimaeus really didn't care about his needs. They were focused on what was in it for them. He was a distraction because he had Jesus' attention, not them. So they saw him as a distraction to their agendas, all while they're missing out what God wants to do in their midst. They only gathered around Bartimaeus when the curiosity was piqued within them, and so then they became quiet and they watched and they drew close. So, if I'm honest, I really don't want to ask these questions, but when the Holy Spirit prompts, you've got to obey the Spirit, right? So there's a mirror here, right? I'm looking, this is just as much to me as anybody else, right? Why does everything have to be about me? Why does everything have to be about us? Why am I so many times a part of the crowd and wanting the distraction to go away? Because I have an agenda. I have something I want. So as we do ministries, as we worship, as we do a lot of things as River Valley Community Church, why does it always have to be about us? When there's a million needs around us that need to be met. Leads to the second response. The second response is Jesus' response. See, he reaches out to a man who has nothing, no way of taking care of himself, and he gives him his undivided attention because faith is involved. And then I think about the church. Not this building, not the Alliance Avenue campus. I think about us, because we're the church, right? Now think about us as River Valley Community Church. God's called us to be making disciples. He's very clear. He says, River Valley Community Church, you are to go and make disciples. There's people out there who are lost. There's people who are going to go to hell. There's people who are wandering in darkness that need their eyes opened. And he's saying, River Valley Community Church, will you go? And will you meet those needs in my name's sake? See, Paul calls us ambassadors of Christ. So I think about ambassadors, and what is an ambassador to do? An ambassador simply represents the homeland, the country, the kingdom. Where's our home? Where do we belong? Where are we going when we die? What's come down to us right now is the kingdom of heaven. We are God's ambassadors. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. What does that mean for us? We're to be representing him out into the kingdom, or out into the world of darkness. You see, we have the light. We have the truth. We have the hope. We know the way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And I think the Holy Spirit is asking us this morning is, are we willing to go about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ into our communities or not? Or is it all about us? You know, the church I came from, out of Calgary, quite often the senior pastor would say, you know, so many times it's us four and no more, close the door. That was one of his favorite phrases. And it annoyed him to the ends of the earth, as it did all of us. But sometimes it's all about me. Don't get in my way, because you're messing with my agenda. You know, Jesus modeled servanthood. He lived his life in such a way that his only desire within him, 24/7, 365, was to obey the will of the Father. Read in your Bibles how many times did Jesus talk about his desire, his goal, his agenda was to bring praise and glory to the Lord, to his Father. I think Jesus is asking us just remember that. So Mark 10 concludes. It says that Bartimaeus follows Jesus. And you know, this is where I get frustrated with scriptures because they don't complete the package for me. Because I'm curious, I want to know, okay, what did Bartimaeus do with his life? He went off and followed Jesus, but what did he do? And we can only imagine, because of that one faith encounter, how many lives did Bartimaeus change by telling others who Jesus Christ was? Maybe we'll know come eternity. Ask Bartimaeus when you get there. I'm sure he'd love to tell you the story. But the question for us is, will you do in response to what Jesus has done for you? Will you live your life in full obedience to him and be that ambassador? Because there's blind all around us. I'm going to invite Derek and Gerald to come. Darlene, I think we're going to go back to Hosanna as we close. But let me pray first as they come. Father, we recognize there's needs all around us. There's needs here today. Those needs are real. We don't want to diminish those needs. You know, we've prayed for some in the wildfires and others, etc. Father, in the midst of those needs, will you increase our faith to a level where we receive your undivided attention? Father, help us with our hearts to lay aside our own agendas and just to dial into you, to the healer. Focus in on you and put our trust in you. And that whatever the answer is, we'll be well and okay with it. So, Father, meet those needs. Secondly, Lord, what are you asking us to be about in these days? So those of us as individuals in this church, what are you asking us to be about? What are you asking our families to be about? What are you asking River Valley Community Church to be about? What does that mean, Lord? See, Lord, we want to be a body of believers that when you ask us to go somewhere, we simply say, yes, yes, yes. Our response to you, Lord, we want it to be yes. And we will go and do what you ask us to do. We won't be like the crowds. We'll follow the pattern of our Savior, and we will go and bring honor and glory to you. And we'll be a part of the sight return to those who are spiritually blind. So, Father, help us in these days as we continue through these summer months. Lord, just help us to take time to dial into you, to hear from you, to understand what you're saying to us, so that we can have our yeses be yes.
Thanks, Pastor Randy. Would you please join us as we close in celebration and worship?
Jesus.